It's time for Green Visions, a KUMD production to encourage green thinking and green actions. Green Visions is made possible by the family-owned Duluth Grill. Joining us on the phone this morning is Brenda LaFrancois, and she is telling us this morning about something kind of fun with the Ashland Harbor Breakwater Light. Brenda, good morning. Nice to have you with us.
Good morning. Great to be here.
You know, it's been so fascinating over the years to see these different ways that some of the older lighthouses and lights are being repurposed. Some of them have been, put out of commission by newer models. Some have been upgraded a little bit, and some, as in this instance, have been tweaked with some additional features. And that's, we're talking bureaucratic partnership now, and that's not an easy thing. Tell us, first of all, what the Ashland Harbor Breakwater Light's new job is going to be.
Right. Well, it has a few new jobs, actually. It's been outfitted with a whole range of new equipment. Some of it is made for measuring weather-related variables, so it'll serve as a weather station. So things like air temperatures and barometric pressure and wind speed and direction will be measured at the weather station. But it's also outfitted with a water level gauge, so we can look at how lake levels change over time, over short periods of time and longer periods of time. And it's outfitted with some things that measure current speed and direction, so we can look at how water is moving around in the bay. And pretty soon it's going to be set up for monitoring water quality-related variables as well, which is kind of a novel kind of equipment for this type of monitoring station.
Well, what a perfect spot to have it there. I mean, it seems like it would be ideally located for such a thing.
Yeah, that's right, and that's something that one of our colleagues, Mark Vincent from the USGS office here in Ashland, has thought for a long time. In fact, we can see it right outside our windows here at our offices on the east end of Ashland, and he's been looking out his window for a long time at that station thinking, boy, somebody ought to be monitoring stuff out there.
And, just goes to show why all employees should have windows.
Yeah, no kidding.
Because you look out the window, and the next thing you know, you're having one of those aha moments.
That's right. And so he had that aha moment, I think, many years ago and continued to have it over time. And then fortunately for the National Park Service, the lighthouse came under National Park Service stewardship responsibility about a year ago. And so the opportunity kind of presented itself, and then we came into some funding opportunities through the Great Lakes Restoration Initiative also that helped us kind of put everything together and get things off the ground.
And that gosh darn pesky funding is always the, it seems to always be the issue.
Yeah.
You know, I mentioned that this was a collaborative effort. We've talked recently on this program about some collaborative efforts with big government agencies. And sometimes it really is difficult to get these massive organizations turned around just enough so that they can coordinate something like this together. Talk about the agencies that came together to make this possible.
Yeah, there is a long list of agencies, and if I start listing them, I'm bound to miss some, but it really is a great example of, collaboration across federal agencies with the National Park Service and the USGS, as well as, NOAA has been involved in some of these conversations. And then more locally, Northland College has been real involved, as has the Wisconsin DNR, the University of Wisconsin-Madison, and a couple of the tribal resource agencies here. So we've been really fortunate to kind of gather up all those perspectives, and that's really how we came up with the list of variables that we're going to be measuring at the site, because everyone kind of has individual needs and interests in the data and interests in serving that data up, both within their agencies and to the public, because there's a lot of kind of public interest tools attached to this as well, like the time-lapse photography and information that boaters, for example, or fishermen can use to check weather conditions in real time.
Wow. So that, well, and I know that we've talked before about over in that neck of the woods, where you can, there's live data available to find out about, for example, kayaking through the sea caves.
Right.
If the weather is, the weather and the currents and such are safe to do that, or if you're likely to get yourself knocked silly.
Right.
So talk a little bit about some of the things with Shawamigan Bay that have people interested in trying to collect this data.
Sure. Sure. Well, you know, one of the big sort of time-sensitive motivators behind some of this data collection was, you know, there were a couple of big high-profile projects proposed in the watershed that would have the potential to impact water quality in the bay. So things, you know, like potential mine development in the Pinokies, or potential CAFO, confined animal feeding operation in the Fish Creek watershed leading into the bay. So people got real interested in, you know, how the bay might respond to those types of inputs from tributaries, and how much the bay mixes with the broader lake, or how much that stuff might, you know, kind of stick around and be present right in the bay for longer periods of time. So those are some of the kinds of water quality, you know, issues that we've all been thinking about. And then I guess in the broader sense, the Great Lakes management and research community has recently gotten much more interested in nearshore waters and embayments in general, kind of recognizing that this is where the public interfaces with the lakes, and this is where habitats are really important to fish and wildlife, and these are habitats that are increasingly under stress. So people kind of recognize that, you know, nearshore waters, places like Shawamigan Bay, have historically been left out of, you know, monitoring programs. So there's been a push for more more monitoring and resources devoted to nearshore waters. So this is, you know, part of our attempt as agencies to respond to those new interests.
Well, and another wonderful thing about the day and age in which we live is that I can say, hey, is any of that stuff going to be online? And you say, absolutely. And then we get a link set up on our webpage from this story to that, so that folks can go and they can take a look at those conditions, and they can snoop around and sort of explore some of the data that's being offered, and they can start taking a look at it. I'm going to ask you to give us the website, and like I said, I will be setting up a link on our webpage at KUMD.org, so it'll be easy for people to find if they don't have a pencil and paper handy to write it down.
Great. Yes. Do you want me to give you the link right now?
You bet.
It's kind of long.
Well, I tell you what, why don't we just, if you put in a search, for example, if you put in a search for Ashland Harbor Breakwater Light, would it come up?
Or what? I bet if you do Ashland Harbor Breakwater Light USGS Gauge, I bet it'll come
up. USGS Gauge. And as I mentioned, I will investigate this. Actually, I'll just ask Brenda off the air, and we'll get that link up on our webpage, so it'll be easy for folks to find, and then go, as I mentioned, and snoop around and take a look at all the conditions and the stuff that's there. And there's data for a brand new research project for you. If you're a high school or a college kid, look at all the cool information that's going to be available to you.
That's right. And we do have some teachers and students from Ashland High School and Bayfield High School who are already interested in doing just that. And actually, right now is a great time to check out the gauge information from the last week or so, because we had that crazy windstorm last week and some changing ice conditions. So you can get a peek from the time-lapse photography of, you know, how the ice has kind of come and gone over the last week, and what some, you know, wild wind conditions look like, and what effects that has on current dynamics and things like that in the lake.
Exciting. Brenda, thanks so much for joining us this morning. It was great to talk with you.
Thanks so much for featuring this. Have a great day.
Brenda LaFrancois joined us this morning as our guest, and she is with the National Park Service. The Ashland Harbor Breakwater Light has a bunch of new jobs, and as I mentioned, we'll get the link set up so that you can go and take a look at the time-lapse photography and the data that's coming in real time. We'll get it all set up for you at KUMD.org. Green Visions on KUMD is made possible in part by the family-owned Duluth Grill, offering organic, homemade, and fair trade menu items. And Heritage Window and Door, the Twin Port supplier for Renewal by Anderson Windows and Doors.